that goes back to the mid-80s, I do believe. I was given a tape recorder, probably by my mother or my grandmother. I would assume my mother, a Fisher-Price, and most of us had them at those times. And I would just record everything, any and everything. I would leave it running, go to school, come home, and see what kind of noises happened at that time when I got back, or, you know, and it just stemmed from there. I do particularly remember a few years later when I was older, having a shortwave radio and recording all stuff off the radio, particularly during the rain, because when it was raining, and we had a garden, you see, we lived in a basement in London, and we had a garden, it was possible to go in and play in the sun. But when it was raining, you couldn't do that. So after coming home from school and dinner's cooking, I would just jump on the tape machine and just listen to all kinds of stuff.
For someone that's never seen during their lifetime, it's perhaps not surprising that sound is such an important sense to you. But indeed, you come from a very musical family as well.
Certainly, yes. My mother met my father, actually, or vice versa, I don't know, in a steel band. They were quite young. I myself play keyboards and drums, mainly keyboards. I compose a lot for TV and radio myself, in fact, and have an album and such like. So definitely musical family. Hopefully my son or daughter will grow up to be somewhat musical, but I won't push them in that direction, of course.
On one of your blogs online recently, you said that a photo is only a third of the story. What exactly do you mean by that?
All right, so imagine you're taking the photo of the most beautiful skyline you can imagine. You've never seen anything like it. You want to put it on Facebook. But behind you, in the living room, your child is dancing away to, I don't know, Gangnam Style or something. You will never remember that in the photo years to come, because there's no sound to back it up. A photo is, in effect, very tunnel vision. It's very wide what's in front of you, but nothing of behind you. Sound is always going to capture a 360 panoramic, I dare say view, but no, capture, if it will, of all the things going on around you. It's not just a snapshot in time. A sound is forever, or at least as long as the recording is running, if that makes any sense.
Indeed it does. And I understand that you want everyone to have a go and get involved in this, recording all sorts of sounds. It doesn't matter how silly or mundane they are.
It doesn't matter how you do it, as long as you yourself, years down the line, can, when you listen back to this recording, remember what it was for, when it was from, and the people around you. I know a lot of people are sort of a bit, how shall we say, conscientious of their voice on recordings, but sometimes, and particularly if they mean a lot to you as a person, if you just persuade them very gently that it's only for personal use, then I'm sure they'll let you. Because the last thing you want is for your mother, your father, your brother to leave you and pass on from this life, and you don't have anything to remember them by except photos.
Now, I've heard you're pretty passionate about adverts. Tell us more about this.
Definitely. Ads mean a lot to me because I used to go to boarding school in Worcester, and I used to watch a lot of TV with my mum during the time I was not at school. It would be, you know, kind of our catch-up time after being away for X amount of weeks of the year. And I find that the ads, or found at least, that in the 90s when ITV was ITV and no longer ITV 1, 2 and 10, that the regional stuff was quite different. And so when ads would switch over to regional, you get a lot of ads for things in your area. I lived and still do live in London. And so the kind of thing that would sink, allow me to believe I was back in town, was that TV ads were not from central region where I used to live in Worcester, but back in London. So it's weird. You know, I get off the train at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock on a Friday morning after being away for so long, and the first thing I would do is go home, turn on TV, and hear, "This is Carlton." You know, it's very strange, but it was really what brought it home to me that, hey, I was back in my childhood room at home with my mom, sort of thing. It's an odd thing. It's because I guess if you can see, the things are your childhood wallpaper, your band posters. For me, it was something as simple and mundane as the TV. And I got into ads as a result of that, I think.
You mentioned briefly this earlier, the benefits of digital recording over some of the ways in which we used to try and record material.
You could copy a copy of a copy these days and it would not degenerate, unless your hard drive or your media that you're copying to is corrupt in the first place, in which case it wouldn't work. But if you were to do that in the, you know, any time before, say, oh, I don't know, 2000, 1996, for example, and you're doing it from VHS or from tape, then those copies would be degenerative. That's not true anymore in the digital age, because it's ones and zeros. It's not analog, and analog decreases where digital doesn't need to. So you can have this same recording that you made yesterday with binaural microphones or a good set of microphones and play it back, assuming they can still play the file format 150 years from now, and it's going to sound as crisp and as clean as the day you made it. And I think that's incredibly important for ourselves and for the people that follow us, so that we encapsulate now the sounds of today. Because by that time, everything will be different. For one thing, if you go and stand on a city street today in Tokyo, in Shanghai, in London, in Delhi, the sounds of non-electric cars are the sounds of today. If you do this again in 150 years, whatever replaces electric cars now that we're just starting to see, they won't sound like that. So we must capture these for those who come after us.
This might be a tricky question, but what would you say is perhaps one of the strangest noises that you've recorded, and indeed, what's perhaps one of your most precious moments?
What are the strangest noises I recorded? Well, recently I had a friend over from Estonia, and we went off to a tech fair in Birmingham. When we got back, I took delivery of an air conditioning unit. And this air conditioning unit has one of those pipes that you stretch out like a McDonald's straw, you know, with a bendy bit in the middle. And we recorded this sound because it was just amazing. When you stretch it, it makes a noise that I can't even emulate for you, but we had to record it because we had forgotten it in 5-10 years' time, and it was brilliant. As for the thing that I've just started to capture, actually, this leads quite nicely into my little segue. I have a Twitter account called #recevery, R-E-C-E-V-E-R-Y, and our goal is to capture life's most, not mundane, but important recordings to you. So you tag them, we retweet them, and we favorite them. And one of the nicest things that I found recently, and I had forgotten, was my wife and child were looking out of the window in, I think it was June of 2011, and it was just, it's been a massive thunderstorm. And I just turned up the mixer, turned up the mics, I was sat at my desk, and we were just talking. It was about 9 minutes. It was quite an intimate moment, and it was just lovely because it was so mundane and normal. And I showed my wife this. My son Jake is now 3, nearly 4. And the way he was talking then was so different than the way he talks now, and she forgot it. So it was nice for her to hear that too.
The organisation Action for Blind People, who I know you've recently been in touch with, has launched this mobile support service bringing information to blind and partially sighted people in local areas touring the country. What do you make of that?
I think it has a lot of potential because there are still a great many people without computers in this day and age, and that really bothers me. Because if you do live alone, for example, and you rely on outside help to do simple things like go shopping, then a computer could help you because you could shop online and such things. I think it's really good if they can train up people with a set period of time, you know, 3 to 6 months to do the things that we take for granted. I certainly do. I'd be sad without my internet. You know, if you took away my internet, I'd cry. If you took away my hot water and my power, well, I've got batteries, so it's not such a big deal. But my internet, don't take my net away.
And if listeners do want to get involved with your audio project, just remind us how they can do that.
Right, the Twitter account is @recevery, R-E-C-E-V-E-R-Y, and the hashtag is recev, to make it nice and short, #recev. So if you post something, doesn't matter what it is, from your cat sneezing to your baby crying or laughing after the fact that he cried or she cried, just tag it with that. We'll retweet it for you. And do send a follow our way, because we do follow back and we like to say hi to people. And if you look at our favorites, because that's where all the recordings that we've garnered so far do exist, so you don't have to crawl Twitter to find them, look at the Rec Every favorites list. You'll see everything that we've managed to capture and save in the last couple of weeks. And I hope you enjoy what you find.
André Louis, thank you very much for joining us.